Turn with me to the book of Hosea, if you have your Bibles. Hosea, the 7th chapter, where I'd like to read to you from. Hosea chapter 7. Praise the Lord. It's always wonderful to get to be with Brother and Sister Prescott. They're a good church and family. They've been so kind to Sister Teague and I. And we have admired them for many years. He's just one of those men among us. It's a Christian gentleman. He is a prince among us, and he has helped us and blessed all of us with his teaching of the Word of God and his preaching of the Word of God. And I certainly do appreciate them, and I'm so thankful for this invitation. Chapter 7, we'll begin with verse 8. Very familiar text. You've heard this before, no doubt. Hosea the prophet said, Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. Strangers have devoured his strength, and he knoweth it not. Gray hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knoweth not. And the pride of Israel testifieth to his face, and they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him for all this. Let me read just three verses again. Verse 8, Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. Strangers have devoured his strength, and he knoweth it not. Yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knoweth not. And the pride of Israel testifieth to his face, and they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him for all this. Oh God. I wish I had a flashy title for you. I don't have one. I've been thinking all day long, what could I give you? Something you could remember, you know. But maybe we'll have one for the end of this service. Is that all right? But I do want to preach to you out of my heart. I've got some things I'd like to say. If the Holy Ghost would help me, would you lift your hands? Let's pray and ask the Holy Ghost to walk among us and help us. Father, we love you. We honor you for your mercy. We thank you for your great grace and love. Lord, we thank you for your compassion, your long suffering. Help us here tonight, God, to be a blessing to this congregation of people. Move through us. Move for us, Holy Ghost. We need you, oh God. Oh, breathe your breath of life down through this service, Lord. Quicken our spirit together. Oh God, in your presence, we will praise you and thank you for all that's done in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Church said amen. Bible students already know that Ephraim was actually the name of Joseph's second son, to be specific. And it was one of the names used for Israel's northern kingdom. By the time that Rehoboam became king, Israel was divided into two kingdoms. That southern kingdom that was, of course, referred to as Judah, and the northern kingdom that was referred to as Ephraim over and over and over again. The northern kingdom was, we probably know it better as Israel, but Hosea calls it Ephraim above 40 times. And it was that northern kingdom that Hosea was called and anointed of God to minister to. And we read in his 7th chapter the terrible indictment that Hosea has for Ephraim. He indicts them for trying to mix the world with Jehovah worship. Did you hear him as he said, Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people? Sometimes I have wondered and I've prayed and I've sought the face of God. And coming out of a worldly compromised organization into this, you know, y'all are stuck with me. This, I feel like we got the best thing going here. But having come out of that to come to you all and looking around at some of the current trends, some of the fads that are beginning to sweep through our independent wholeness movement, I'm wondering if we're not headed in the same direction that some of those that have come and gone before us have already headed. Amen. When Ephraim mixed himself, something terrible took place. The first thing that happened when Ephraim began to mix himself, or that northern kingdom began to mix himself among the people, he immediately lost his identity. That's the entire reason God chose Israel, so that the world would know there is a God. He chose them. He anointed them. He called them. He separated them. And he gave them certain distinctives that were a part of their identity, so the world would look to them like a city set on a hill that could not be hid. But when Ephraim began to play the fool and mix himself with the peoples round about him, he lost that identity that God had given him. I want to tell you something, folks. God has throughout the ages blessed his people with identity. It is not the teaching of our forefathers that have given us the identity. We've got our identity from God. Amen. We have not followed cunningly devised fables handed down generation after generation, but we're trying to and striving to live according to the word of God. Can you say amen? And so when we're talking about Ephraim mixing himself among the people and losing his identity, I wonder if we've not done the very same thing. In too many places I go, there seems to be a move on among us. Amen. Don't want to be a little more like them in an effort to win them. To be a little more like that in an effort to try and move that closer to us. But I'll tell you what gave Ephraim his strength. What gave Ephraim his power. It was his identity in the world that God placed him in. Without his identity, he was useless. Can I preach to his church? Without our identity, we are useless. Amen. We're good for nothing in this world if we lose our identity. I don't want to get ahead of myself. I want to take my time and preach this to you. God had spoke to his people and said in Leviticus chapter 20, "And ye shall not walk in the manners of the nation which I cast out before you. For they committed all these things, and therefore I abhorred them. But I have said unto you, ye shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people." When I've studied that, began to look at that, Mr. Moffat said, when God spoke in Leviticus 20, "And ye shall not walk in the manners of the nation," literally translated means customs, "ye shall not identify yourself with them." Amen. You do not change the teachings of the word of God in an effort to be more like them, but you allow the word of God to live in you to affect who they are. Do not live according to their custom. God separated his people from other nations and other customs. Amen. And he gave them that identity so that they could make an impact in their society. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 6, God said, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth." God wanted them to be holy. He wanted them to be separated. They were his special people. And he blessed them with distinctives in order to prove it. He wanted them to maintain their identity. Amen. He separated them, but they mixed themselves. Did you get that? God separated them, but they mixed themselves. Joshua spoke in Joshua chapter 23 and verse 7. He said, "That ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them, but
cleave unto the Lord your God. Amen. God sends warning after warning on what not to do, where not to go, what not to participate in. And Joshua takes it a step further. He actually lays out the consequences of not obeying God's command. In Joshua 23, verses 11 and following, listen to what he said. He said, take good heed therefore unto yourselves that you love the Lord your God. Else if you do in any wise, go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you. Know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. Listen, Ephraim mixed himself with the people, and the calamity that God had promised began to fall on Ephraim. Amen. The nations round about became snares unto them, became thorns in their eyes. Come on now. Amen. He mixed himself, and when he did, he lost his identity. I will preach to us here tonight. When the 21st century church begins to mix with the people of this world, we too will lose our identity. I feel like it's impossible to overemphasize the importance of us maintaining our identity in this world. I know, listen, just for the lack of a better term, I know we've heard some knuckleheads get up and try to beat things into us. That's not what I'm advocating here tonight. I know we've had some that have come along and preached their preference. They've come and preached their personal conviction, and they've tried to add to, thus saith the Lord. That's not what I'm here to advocate tonight. No, not at all. Not by any means. I'm going to tell you something. That word of God is the same for every generation. That word of God is the same for every denomination. It doesn't matter if you're Baptist or Church of God or Methodist or Episcopalian or Presbyterian. Hey, come on now. Fire baptized, it makes no difference. The word is the word is the word. And it's the same for everybody. Yes, it is. Amen. We have seen the terrible consequences of other groups and other organizations who have tried to mix themselves with the world in an effort, or a so-called effort, to try and win them. Come on now. And I'll tell you something. We must guard ourselves if we're going to have revival. Amen. It's going to mean tightening up instead of loosening up. Come on now. Huh? Amen. It's going to mean tightening up instead of loosening up. Ain't that right? If we're going to have a move of God, then we're going to have to shuck off everything that looks like the world, everything that appears to be a part of the world. Come on now. And we're going to have to sanctify ourselves so the very God of peace can sanctify us wholly and bring us close to Him in His marvelous presence. Come on now. Amen. It's only, amen, when we fall out of love with the world, fall out of love with ourselves, and fall in love with Him, that's when we'll have a move of God. That's when our children will have a move of God. That's when our neighborhoods will have a move of God. But until then, if we keep mixing, mingling, going the way of the world, we're going to keep flip-flopping and floundering, going through the motion. Come on now. I don't know about you, but I'm not satisfied with two or three saved a year. I ain't. I'm not satisfied with that. I'm glad for everyone, don't get me wrong. Oh, but we could have so much more. We could be so much greater. Come on now. I've been reading, trying to stir my heart again. Not only the Bible, of course, I read the Bible every day. But I went back to when I was a young preacher and I dug out some of them old books that got me real sharpened up, you know. Leonard Ravenhill was one of my favorite guys. I used to like to read after. One of the first ones I found, he just said it plain. I could understand it. Come on now. And listen to what Leonard Ravenhill said. He said in his book, Revival Praying, he said, sinned as we have as a nation, yet to our sin we have added pride in our sinning. He said, the world has lost its power to blush over its vice, and the church has lost her power to weep over it. Come on now. Amen. He goes on to say, every church without a prayer meeting condemns us. Amen. Every Bible daily unopened condemns us. Every promise of God unused condemns us. Every neighbor on their way to hell condemns us. Every heathen on their way to hell condemns us. Every dry eye among us condemns us. Every wasted minute of our time condemns us. Every unclaimed opportunity for God condemns us. Listen, he said, next year is not ours, and tomorrow may be too late unless we repent now, unless we return the fire to the prayer altar now, unless we fast and weep now. Woe unto us at the judgment. I've seen how this works, Brother Peach. I've done this long enough. I know how this works. Come on now. Why, I could have sanded off some of my rough edges and just kept running with that bunch I was with. Huh? And boy, I could have, no telling what we could have done. Just make a little tweaks, little changes. Come on now. But at the end of this meeting, you might not believe what I believe, but you're going to know I believe it. Come on now. So I ain't ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of coming out from among the world and being separate. I come out from among the world in a worldly organization. Come on, say amen. Brother Rich didn't preach my TV out of my house. Come on, help me right here, somebody. Brother Gabbard didn't preach the scissors out of my wife's hair. The Holy Ghost did it. You know what? We was praying. We was reading the Bible. And God told us what was right. Come on now. I'll tell you, folks, this ain't just a little clique. It's not just a little fellowship. This is not just a little club. We're running for our life. The Bible is right. I said the Bible is right. And we've got to quit seeing how close to the things of the world we can get without becoming contaminated. And we've got to run just as deep into the promises of God as we could possibly get. We've got to fall out of love with this world. Oh, lift your hands and praise the Lord here. I thought about Samson losing his identity. He lost his identity because he was driven by his own reckless, foolish desires. After judging Israel for 20 years, Israel was no better off when he died than they were before his birth. I know the Hebrew writer placed him in Hebrews chapter 11 in what we refer to as the roll call of the heroes of our faith. But if you're going to pattern your life after any Bible character, it should not be Samson. Come on now. Samson was selfish and rebellious and disobedient. Come on now. He loved Samson more than he loved God. Come on now. Amen. It took him going into captivity, losing his strength and his eyesight, to humble him enough to repent for one final act for God. Come on now. I don't want to pattern my life after that. Listen, he was such a great powerful man from the time that he was just a boy. The Bible said the Spirit of God would come on him and move him in the camp of Dan. Destined to be great, called, anointed of God. And God promised to bless him and touch him and be with him. And he won great victories. But he lost battle after battle after battle with himself. Come on now. And because he could not abstain from that Philistine culture, amen, when he died, Israel had gained zero ground. Zero. Deborah accomplished more than Samson did. Shout now, somebody. That's right. Deborah made a greater impact on her generation than Samson made on his. I thought about Lot. He lost his identity in Sodom. And he became just Lot. That's all he was, just Lot. Come on now. After mixing himself with the people, he didn't have enough influence over his own family to get everybody out before destruction came. He, along with his two daughters and a wife who really wanted to stay behind, and she ended up turning into a salt pillar before they ever made it all the way out. Huh? Them son-in-laws had watched Lot live, all mixed up and tangled up in the affairs of Sodom and Gomorrah. And when the angels showed up, no doubt Lot began to plead with them. He had lost his identity. You're not God's man anymore. You're not sincere, Lot. We've watched you day after day after day. Come on now. I'll tell you something. When we lose our identity, we're sure to lose our usefulness. Can you say amen? We're only useful in the kingdom of God when we maintain the identity that God has given us. You know what the Bible said for the church in the New Testament? Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. That's not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters. Come on now. Amen. I know we don't like that kind of preaching, and I done left one group that got to where they didn't like it, but he still said, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship had righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion had light with darkness? I want to tell you, ye are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. That's you, church. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. He commanded, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Samuel came to Jesse's house. Jesse rolled his boys out in front of him. And Samuel looked at one after the other. Amen. He turned every one of them down. The baby boy was still in the field watching the sheep, tending to the goats. And the scripture that a lot of compromisers that I've encountered through the years use is, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. Well, that's true. The Bible said it. Man looketh upon the outward appearance, but God looks upon the heart. But if men are to see our good works, men cannot see our heart. Men look on the outward appearance. Come on and help me right here, somebody. Men look, they put all the emphasis on God looking on the heart. Well, that goes without saying. God knows every heart in this building. But you don't know my heart, and I don't know your heart. Come on now. You look at my outward appearance. When I come in tonight, some of you is wanting to see my wife. Come on here. You is wanting to see if it was straight across. Come on, help me right here, somebody. You is wanting to see what kind of dress she had on. You is wanting to look at her fingernails. You gonna help me right here? You know Why? Men looking upon the outward appearance. That's all we've got to go by. Come on now. It does matter. Amen. We cannot afford to let any more slip. We cannot afford to turn loose of any more standards. I get so tired of hearing preachers get up in our meetings and slander the standard of holiness and righteousness and free dedication to God. I want to give Him all that I am. I want to give Him all that I ever shall be. Praise God, you can't be too heavenly minded to be any earthly good. You can do what you want to, but here's where I am. And you probably look at me different when I say this. I hope you don't. I'm growing. And He's still working on me, praise God. Young evangelist, first starting out 20-some years ago, I had two men that were in divorce and remarriage that I'd go by and preach revival for. And even one of my Church of God preacher friends gave me the advice, don't do that. But I, as a young preacher, convinced myself, I'm going to help them people. I can't help what that man's done. I'm going to help them people. Well, I hope I ain't shooting myself in the foot right here. God will help you if you'll just listen to Him. Come on now. I'll never forget. I did that a couple of times for each one of those guys. And I through the years, I got to a place where now I'm part of you folks. And, you know, I'm not 20-something anymore. I'm a whole lot closer to 50 than I am 40. Hallelujah. And I got to realizing and recognizing there's a group of young preachers coming up along behind me. Come on now. I ain't nothing. Nothing. Come on now. Nothing. But God got to dealing with me. What kind of example are you setting for them young men coming along behind you if you go preach for them guys? But God, I don't believe in it. I know you don't believe in it. So why are you preaching for them? So the next time one of them called, I was just brassy enough to tell him, God been dealing with me. What's God been dealing with you about, Brother Teague? God's been dealing with me. Your marriage ain't right. I don't believe that men in your condition ought to be pastoring a church. Therefore, I cannot come. But you've come before, but it's different now. What's different now? I'm getting a little older. I'm preaching out a little more. Young men's are looking at me, watching me, and it's as if I put my seal of approval on that. And God knows my heart. I don't believe in that. Come on now. You know what He told me? He said, sound to me like you're getting a little too big for your britches, Brother Teague. Come on now. Hey, well, you can look at me and tell I'm big, but I ain't that big. Hallelujah. Come on now. Amen. I'll tell you something. God will deal with us. He will talk to us. He will help us if we let Him. We do not have to let down. We do not have to back up. We do not have to turn loose. We've got what's right. And it's worth fighting for. Oh, lift your hands and ask the Lord to help me. Don't lose your identity. I worry about some of these guys do more preaching the Church of God, Assemblies of God, than they do among us. Don't everybody shout at once. Tell them I said it. Send them the CD. I worry about some of them that can just jee-haw and rub elbows with everybody and anybody. They just turn whatever color, whatever limb they land on, they just turn that color. Come on now. That's a chameleon. Come on here. I was preaching wholeness in worldly churches before I knew anybody in this building. Come on, say amen right there, somebody. Huh? I was preaching, you ought not paint your lips, when the pastor's wife I was preaching for had ruby red lips. Come on and help me right here, somebody. Amen. Listen, this Bible is right. Hallelujah. You don't have to water it down. You don't have to sidestep the issues. Amen. Just stand for what's right. You don't have to be mean and hateful and mean-spirited, but you do have to stand. I said you got to stand, praise God. Quit giving up ground. Quit giving up ground. I want to strive to be identified with Christ. Peter said, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. Maintain the distinctives and shun the distractions. The church is the light of the world. The church is the salt of the earth. The church is that city set on a hill that cannot be hid. The church is my family's only hope. The church is your family's only hope. The church, amen, is anointed. The church is called. The church is sent, praise God. The vehicle that God has chosen to carry the gospel around this globe is the church. The church loses her usefulness when she loses her identity. Listen to Ephraim's inconsistency. The thing that made him worthless in his generation was a divided heart. He had a misplaced allegiance. God spoke to him and said, Ephraim is a cake not turned. He's burned on one side, yet to be done uncooked, doughy on the other side. Come on now. I like it when Sister Tig gets up early in the morning, puts butter in the pan and mixes up some pancake batter and fries me some pancakes on the stove. Come on now. But I wouldn't like it if she just fried one side. That's a cake not turned. Come on now. Useless. It don't matter how much maple syrup you pour on it, it still ain't going to be no good. You got to cook it on both sides. Ephraim was useless. Completely useless. Our usefulness depends upon our influence. Amen. When we lose our influence, we lose our usefulness. Recently, I started reading an old book again that I've had for years. Arthur Wallace wrote a book. I believe he come out with it back in the 60s called God's Chosen Fast. It's a pretty good book dealing with things about fasting. I wrote this down because I didn't want to forget it. Listen to what Arthur Wallace said in that book. He said, there is concern in the hearts of many for the recovery of apostolic power. But how can we recover apostolic power while neglecting apostolic practice? See, we want the power, but we want it our way. Huh? We want a YouTube and Netflix and Redbox more than we pray. And we want to rush to the house of God for a blessing on Sunday. We wonder why our finances is in a mess and why our marriage is all tangled up and struggling. And we wonder why our children are not saved. Come on now. We spend more time in the world doing what we want to do instead of doing what He wants us and has called us to do. Come on now. He didn't put you here for playtime. He put you here to work. He said work while it's day, because the night cometh when no man can work. Come on now. He put you here to work and labor. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. You ought to do His bidding while there's still time. But we get sidetracked with our lake trips and our Colorado ski vacations, building our cabins at the coast, clearing our lots in the mountains. We get sidetracked on our elk hunts, our mule deer hunts, our deep sea fishing. Come on now. We get sidetracked, amen, on a new car every couple of years. Some of these things are not sin, but I'm guarantee you. Paul said for us to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. I've got a hankering in my heart. I'll tell you this. I haven't talked to Brother Martin. I was talking to Brother Martin on the phone not long ago. You know, Brother Martin's up in Alaska now. He was last time I talked to him a few weeks ago. And I was talking to him. I got off the phone. I had an overwhelming desire to go to Alaska and preach the gospel. I've got a Church of God friend that went to Alaska years ago to preach the gospel. He went up there. He took his high-powered rifle with him. He come back with about a 450-pound black bear. Huh? Big old rug in his living room. He got it there with his turkeys and his ten pointers and you'd be surprised how many people's asked me all of my traveling from 1999 till tonight, all of them trips back and forth to Africa. We've got some great hunters in the Holiness Movement. I like to hunt, but I'm not gonna spend $2,500 on a plane ticket and thousands more getting over and back to go shoot a giraffe or a zebra. Huh? I talked to one man, spent $40,000 on one trip to Africa. Time he got all of his stuff shipped back over here and mounted. Come on now. Huh? Just talk to that dentist that shot old Cecil. He'll tell you. It ain't all it's cracked up to be. Hallelujah. Huh? I told some of them, I'm looking for something more precious. I'm after a much greater trophy when I go there than something with horns going out of the top of its head or squiggly stripes on its hide. Come on now. Amen. God has called us to be fishers of men. Can you shout amen? Some of these things are all right in their place, but we've got to keep our priorities straight. We've got to keep this thing in perspective. Can you say amen? I said we've got to keep this in perspective. Praise God. We've got to understand we'll never have revival. Amen. Always push for a vacation. Always put, come on now. We'll never have a move of God until we hunker down and dig in and get willing to pay the price that's going to have to be paid to have a move of God. We are not to seek after the same things the world's seeking after. We're to be seeking after the things of God. I was on the phone with Brother Martin, and we was talking about missionary work. I'd made a contact in Alabama, and make a long story short, end of the conversation, he said, let me share something with you, Brother Teague. He said, he's at a soup kitchen. I was at the soup kitchen today, and I got to looking at the plug in the wall. He said, it's a three-prong plug. He said, God got to dealing with me. And I'm going to preach you his sermon. He preached to me on the phone. He said, God got to dealing with me. I got to looking at that plug. And he got to dealing with me about great potential. He said, I was serving that soup, looking at that socket in the wall, thinking about what great potential is locked up. And that little three-prong plug. You know what? When I left today to drive to Martinsville, Virginia, I've got an older neighbor. She's in her high 60s, just right at 70. And she got an electric push mower. She was out there slinging grass. When I was loading up the car to come up here today, she was pushing that, dragging that big orange drop cord along behind her. Great potential. Locked up. In that, huh? I've listened to hours and hours and hours of preaching through a machine hooked up
to one of them little three-pronged plugs. Well, I've cut logs in two. I've sawed lumber. Huh? I've seen great things accomplished. What great potential. Huh? He said, but until something's actually plugged into it, there's no productivity. It ain't really producing anything until a connection is made and you plug something in it. His sermon's a lot better than mine was tonight, ain't it? Great potential, but no productivity. My mind got to racing. I thought, oh God, that's my generation. That's where I am. That's where our churches are for the majority. That's where we are. We're just idling. Come on here. Great potential. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on now. You can spend your sojourn here standing around singing, oh Lord, send the fire just now, if that's what you want to. But I'm going to tell you what the Bible teaches us. The Bible teaches us the power has already been sent. He started, he opened the floodgates, amen, on the day of Pentecost. And he began from that moment to pour the baptism with the Holy Ghost down upon humanity. Come on now. Peter had already prophesied. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. He said your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. He's quoting from the prophet Joel. Come on now. We've got the power. But where's the productivity? I say we need to get plugged in. I said we need to get plugged in. I got off the phone, that thing, I got twiddling on it in my mind. I thought about them three prongs. I'm not an electrician, but I believe this is right. One of them's the ground. That's the ground wire. If we're ever going to have a move of God, we got to get grounded in prayer. 15 minutes a day is not going to do it. Some of you don't even pray that much. That's not going to bring revival. You got to pray until you pray past you. Huh? If all you do is pray about your business and what you want and what you need, you ain't begin to pray yet. You don't even know how to pray. Come on, say amen. You gotta train yourself, teach yourself, train yourself, discipline yourself to pray past you. Come on now. Amen. God help me. God fill my refrigerator. God, I need some gas. God heal me. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. You hadn't prayed. Come on now. You got to pray past you and what you want and what you need and what you desire. When you pray past you, God will open a wonderful experience up to you. You'll find yourself interceding for folks. You'll find yourself bearing one another's burden, fulfilling the law of Christ. Come on here. Huh? You'll find yourself, listen, we've got to get grounded in prayer. Now, I thought about that neutral wire's got to be humility. Amen. Great need in Independent Holiness Church. We need a fresh baptism of humility. Come on now. Amen. I appreciate it. I was looking not too long ago. As a matter of fact, had my dates mixed up on this meeting. We was in April last year, wasn't we? We was in April. I was fixing to come last week. And somebody said, I don't think it's that. Well, I think it's over in May. And so I went on my cell phone, right on the internet. Don't fall out with me. Right to the Martinsville Church of Truth website. I said, yep, there he is. Curtis Tiggs preaching starting in the month of May. Hallelujah. I'm glad I looked, ain't you? Some of you are, some of you ain't. Praise God. I'm glad I looked. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on here now. Amen. Humility. Praise God. At neutral wire. That keeps us humble in the presence of God. Hallelujah. I got to thinking about that hot wire. Amen. If that ground is prayer and that neutral, it's humility. That hot wire has got to be faith. Glory to God. Amen. I want to have faith that can reach up and touch God. I don't want to mix myself. I don't want to mingle with this generation. I want to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. I want to come out from among them so that the power of the Holy Ghost can abide in my life. You just go ahead. I preached for a church, and was having truck trouble. They let me drive their church van while I was getting my pickup worked on. And the corner of the mirror, the corner of the windshield on the church van, I won't tell you what state I was in. There was one sticker, parking pass, for, I believe it said Wild Country or Wet and Wild or something like that. And there's another sticker for another. Well, if I told you what that one was for, you'd know exactly what state I was in. So I ain't, And there was a third sticker for some other kind of worldly amusement park. Come on now. I'm going to tell you something. If we're not careful, we're going to get away from being blessed of God to being the church of the Laodiceans. Rich, increase with goods, have need of nothing. We're going to drift so far away from God, our wholeness people is going to start doing the very things we've condemned the ones that used to have it and don't have it anymore. We've talked about them. We've preached about them for years. Come on now. I'm probably not the only man here that's come out of an organized church. There's others right here tonight had to make their break because your denomination was headed in a different direction that you felt like God was leading you. Come on now. I don't want to be like a dog that returns to its vomit. I don't want to be like a sow that's been washed returning to her wallowing in the mire. Come on now. I want to be driven. I want to be pushed. Amen. For more of God in my heart. I want to hunger. I want to thirst inside of me for the things of God. Come on now. Amen. I want to be like the heart that's panning after the water brook. I'd like to leave a footprint when I leave here and go on to meet my reward. I'd like to leave the path clean and straight so those coming along behind me won't have to guess which way is the right way. My baby boy, this is all he's ever known. He's lost. He's not praying. He's very interested. And he's he'll pray and then he won't pray. He'll pray and then he won't pray. This child, this baby on the way, is seen to be working on him. I'm praying it will. And Sister Prescott, his wife, wasn't raised like he is raised. She was raised in church, but it wasn't like he was raised. He told his mother, he talks to his mother about those kind of matters more than he does me. He told his mother, he said, you know, she's come to me about three times just in the last little while. And her questions are always the same. What about cutting my hair and coloring it? If we get in church, what about my pants, my britches? What about my diamond? My diamond ring. You know, in her mind, that just lets everybody know she's married. There's usually more to it than that. It's a little flash, a little bling, you know. And finally he told his mother, he said, the third time she done that, he said, I set her down in the living room. He said, I looked across the living room at her and said, Ashley, sounds to me like God's dealing with you and you're wanting to get in church. But you're looking for a loophole to get in church and keep living the way you've been living. He said, this is the third time you've asked me about this hair and jewelry and breeches. And my answer has been the same every time. If we're going to get in, there ain't but one way to do it. We've got to just get in and give God everything. Come on, say amen. Huh? Can I preach to somebody right here tonight? If you're going to get in, ain't but one way to do it. Just give God everything. And go ahead and get in. And let God have His way in you. Stand with me, will you, all over this place. Lift your hands, let's love on Him. Come on, praise Him right out of your heart, saints of God. I'm glad to be a part of this. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm one of them. Glory to God. I'm glad I'm washed in the blood. Hallelujah.
Oh, God. Six Flags and Disney World, the water park. That's never going to keep our young people in. Skating rinks and roller coasters. That's if is any excitement in it, and surely there is. That's all it is, just a fleeting moment, and it's over. What they need more than anything else is to see God working in me. To see God working in you. To experience Christ when they are in our presence. To experience Christ in us. They called them Christians first at Antioch. And it was not a pat on the back. It was more of a slap in the face. It was not something they was commending them for. It was a derogatory term. That you could almost hear the insincerity. They said it through gritted teeth. Christians, huh? They despised them. You know why? Because they unswervingly lived like he lived. Unapologetically lived like he lived. They walked in his steps. Come on now. Now, let me ask you. What difference is the life you're living for Christ making in someone else's life? What kind of influence are you to your neighbor living on either side of you? Your workmate working at shop with you, wherever it is you work. What difference is your relationship with Christ making in somebody else's life? And if you can't see one, it could be you're a cake not turned. It could be that you have busied yourself mixing among the people. Huh? But it's not too late for us. It's not too late for us. Come on now. It's not too late for us. I'm telling you, I've got them. I have them. I don't have them in my possession at this meeting, but I have them. I've held them in my hand. I can show you documents from the 60s that came from the Church of God overseers in Cleveland, warning the people. One of the terms that Wade Horton used was a flood tide of worldliness. And he talked about cosmetics and jewelry and hairdos. Come on now. They was crying out. I'll tell you, I feel like God's wanting us to get ready for revival. But we're going to have to start abstaining from some things. Making a wide circle around some things. We're going to have to shuck some things off and put some things on if we're going to have a move of God. Come on, say amen. I'd like to have one, wouldn't you? I want to be a candidate for the Holy Ghost to fall on. Don't you? Would you lift both your hands right here? Let's praise Him right out of your heart. Come on. Bless Him right here out of your heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lamb of God. Thank Him right out of your heart. Praise God. Send us a move of the Holy Ghost. Send us revival. Help somebody in this meeting. Oh, Lord, to make a change, to draw closer to You. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. While you're standing, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me. I'm going to make this invitation. It could be that there's one here tonight, or it could be a handful. It could be someone here tonight who say, Brother Teague, I came to this meeting with a longing inside of me. I want to be different at the end of this meeting than I am right now. I want to be different than I am right now. I want to tell you something. If you're here tonight and the things of this world have been distracting you, have been clamoring for your attention, if you're here tonight and you've made some missteps and you've turned and started to go in the wrong direction, can I tell you it's not too late? God has set aside this time for us to consecrate ourselves to Him, to make a fresh renewal and dedication to the will of God for our lives. Now, while heads are bowed and folks are praying, I'm looking for somebody to step out from where you're standing. Walk that aisle and come get in this altar. Say, Brother Teague, I need revival. I need God to help me in this meeting. I didn't come just to look at you. I didn't come just to hear preachers preach. I need contact with God. I need an experience. Before this meeting is ended, I need God to help me. I need God to touch me. Hallelujah. They're coming. Pray, saints. Pray. Somebody else, y'all, to step out from where you are with a sincere heart. I'm looking for you. Brother Teague, I do not want to leave this meeting the same way that I am right now. I want to leave changed. I want to leave different. Oh, I would to God that some more of these young people would step out. Thank God for this young man. There's others right here. You ought to have moved already. I need a change. I need an experience with God before this meeting is over. Amen. Why don't you come right now? In Jesus' name. Come on right now. In the name of Jesus. Come on right now. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on right now. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One of the greatest obstacles that we have right now as wholeness people is to get our people to the place where they're willing to admit, I need help from God. I need God to do something for me. Quit worrying about what your neighbor's going to say. Quit worrying about what they're going to think. If you need help from God, you ought to come to this altar and pile in here and begin to pray and seek the face of God. I'm going to have a church come pray with you here in just a moment, but I want everybody that wants to come. Everybody that needs to come, I want you to come. Get in this altar right while you can. Thank God for these young people. Hallelujah. I want to be different. I want to be changed. I don't want to leave the backside of this meeting the same way that I walked in the front side of it. I want something to happen in me. I want to be distinctive. Hallelujah. I want an identity that the world can take note of. I've been with Jesus. Come on, let's pray. Come on, saints of God, gather in here and let's pray one for another. Come on, let's see if we can have a move of God. Hallelujah. Let's pray one for another. In Jesus' name.